Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, comedian Omar Abid, wedding celebrant Sarah Clark at Sarah Clark Celebrates on Instagram, and Claire Limmer Abid. Hello, Sarah.
Sarah's back.
Morning.
You forgot you weren't on the last episode.
I feel like you've never been away.
I sent my little voice notes.
yeah, they were good. They were interesting. There was a lot of overlap with what we'd said, which you'd kind of expect. I mean, I think everyone is on board with the why would anyone hear kids talking over the phone in the background?
Oh my word, and pretend they suddenly want children.
Yeah.
Ben is like Captain Vague. Mm. Like nothing he says feels like he believes what he's saying. I just can't. Anyway, I've already launched into talking about. Hello, welcome.
Where were you?
Where was I? I was in London.
So it sounded very
angry. Where the fuck have you been?
Didn't turn up for work.
Yeah.
I was at home in bed. I was in London for a friend's 40th. I'm in that year where all my friends are turning 40.
Right.
Yes.
Have a good time.
Which is fun. Yeah, it was fun.
Nice. Well, we are glad to have you back.
Thank you. I love listening to it when it's just the two of you.
Was it all right?
Yeah, it was great. But I was a fan of this show before you asked me to join, and I used to listen to Kelly and Omar and just nod at Kelly's bits and shake my head at Omar's bits. Misogynist prick.
And now you get to tell him to his face.
Yeah, we've got to have a bit of balance. I mean, this came up in that episode where you said you thought I'd just agree with the men, which is not always the case.
No, I didn't quite say that. I said I felt the need to defend Sarah Sada, but I think that was because she's a woman and I don't want her to get so much stick online because it is awful often. So I felt like, you know, I have to defend her. And sometimes I think you feel that pull to defend your fellow man.
No, honestly, I don't. But I think because we had a conversation off air more about that. And women do get loads and loads of shit online, more than men, to be clear, from my experience with maths tweeting. But I do think there's been some, on our feed anyway, particularly nasty comments about Sarah. But I think actually for the first time there's been an equivalent number of comments about Jack, which are more than just, oh, he's a prick, he's red flags and all this, like stuff about he's probably impotent, you know, things like that.
Wow.
Which is it, you laugh.
Sorry. That was Claire. Is her name Sarah or is it Sarah? Because I'm sure she's corrected people both ways.
I think it depends on whether you speak Spanish or not. That's honestly what I think.
Yeah, if you're Australian, you say Sarah. And then if you've got a Spanish accent, you say Sarah.
Yeah.
Because Alessandra said like,
exactly.
Sarah.
And so does Sarah. Tim.
I feel
obviously Tim is Spanish speaking in some way.
I think it is funny when he says it though, because he properly goes for it. So it's, you know, I'm really putting in all the effort with Stara. It really takes you out of what he's saying. interesting couple of episodes this week, because obviously commitment ceremony, and then I'm gonna put a poll up, so by the time our listeners hear this, they'll have had the chance to vote. But are we ready for intruders? It feels early, but it's 3 weeks in, you know.
It does feel early. I had wondered what this week was going to be. So it makes sense that it's the intruders, because we've just done intimacy week.
I'm such an idiot. Like, I forget every season there's intruders. And I saw the flowers in the aisle and I was like, why is there another wedding? And Johnny was like, the intruders. I was like, And then obviously Michael came back to mind and it all came flashing back. Yeah. I think I'm ready for them, because I like some of them and dislike others.
I like how our couples get to go to the wedding.
I know.
They didn't used to do that, did they?
Yeah, I think
so. I like that.
They introduced that in the COVID kind of series.
That's a good
tip. Filler content of guests.
Otherwise, it's just the bridegroom and the celebrant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I like seeing them at a wedding. And see how far they've come, because they're all pals, and how far some of them haven't come.
Yeah.
So should we start with the commitment ceremonies?
Yeah, that seems to make sense, doesn't it? We'll do it episode by episode. So I felt they'd sort of, the way they'd weighted it, there were like three big couples to start with. They started with Ben and Ellie, so should we start with them?
Yeah.
Yes, they did. And then they whizzed through about three in about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Are you doing well? Yep, off. Are you doing well? Yep, off.
There was Ben and Ellie, then Tori and Jack, then Timothy Lucinda. I was like, wow, they're doing all the big hitters up front.
Yeah.
And then, the middle section was done.
Get them in. Get them off.
So my sister sent me this text about Ben, as in Ben and Ellie. Mm-hmm. Do you think Ben knows he's on maths? I'm starting to wonder if he thinks he's on the traitors and he just has to prove to everyone. He's pretending he wants to be in a marriage and we have to guess whether he's sincere or not. Like, it doesn't feel
I will guess that he's not.
he's so vague and he's so non-committal in everything. Even the way he just says, like, hello. There's no, like, oomph behind anything he says. And so I find it really hard to work out whether he's just very vanilla in his delivery.
Yeah.
Or he's hiding some big ulterior motive. Or he is just a bit... Because like you said, Omar, I like what you said about he said the quite a bit out loud. Like, he admits how vague he is. He could easily hide it.
Well, yeah, even taking it back to the dinner party, which we didn't get to talk to you about, when he just ended that whole discussion with, time will tell.
I know. He's so vague.
Yeah.
But to apply for this process, you always just assume people have to have a little bit about them, because you have to get through the audition process and you have to have the oomph to even apply, and you have to want to be in a marriage, at least pretend to want to be in a marriage. He doesn't even really pretend very well. No. So I'm like, what is it that's keeping you here? And even on the couch when they were like, do you want to be here? And he was like, I'm like, be definitive in something. Yeah, yeah. Say yes or no once in your life.
Yeah.
I'm in.
I don't believe you. And I think John even pulled him up. I do like John. John even pulled him up and be like, I've asked you a very simple question.
Yeah.
It's a yes or no answer. Yeah. And even then he takes, I don't know how it's edited, whether the pauses are put in after the fact, but there's all these long pauses. He looks like he's so like bored to be there.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what he wants. Because like you've mentioned before, he doesn't have the personality to then go on and have a career.
In podcasting.
Yeah.
Even if he'd come on and he was as he is, but more likeable and more clearly wanting to be with Ellie, you wouldn't think, wow, this guy's in. There's like eight other people on there who are more entertaining than him.
I think
without.
There's probably like 15 other people. But even like if he was love him to hate him or hate him to love him, even if he had big opinions and he was a bit controversial, like that's not nice, but you could see how he'd maybe be drawn into podcasting. But he's just, he hasn't really got anything to say.
Yeah.
No.
I actually thought his backstory was a bit more interesting. He'd travelled the world. He was finally deciding to settle down. He'd lost his friend and it brought everything into sharper focus. But then we haven't seen any of that. We haven't seen any of this like wanting to change his life. Mm-hmm. Wanting to have some anchorage.
Yeah.
We haven't seen any of that. He's just like so non-committal to everything.
So bland
Do you think he'd be a good tour guide?
No. Because he'd be like, this is one of the seven like wonders of the world. Like,
is it?
Yeah. You can't imagine him being much fun as a tour guide, can you?
No.
Or maybe he takes on a persona and that's where the voice comes in. You know that voice he pulls out sometimes?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I would have even liked to have seen him mocking her, because I would even like to have seen more of like the pantomime villain to then know what we're working with, but we haven't really seen anything.
No.
It's even, I can feel it in this conversation now, we feel like we should be able to slag him off more. But there's not much more to say about it, really, is there?
It's just like, so non-committal.
The same thing happened with the experts. I thought, and a few people had said, oh, I can't wait to see them tear a strip off Ben. But really, he says the things you're sort of meant to say. Mm. He's very non-committal, but he's not even, like you say, he's not even a villain,
no,
really.
He's just very, like, wet.
Yeah. But,
And then I feel for Ellie, because she's doing that thing that a lot of us do, where she's really trying to cling to the positives and think, like, oh, maybe I can bring out the nice side of him. Maybe he does want kids. Like, we're in this process, and she's doing all the legwork. And you can see it's not going to end well because he's not fighting for it at all.
No.
And
she really wants to believe him, doesn't she?
Yeah.
But she's believing what his words are, but not any other form of communication that he's giving off. Because in any other form of communication, he's giving off nothing. So she's literally just going off his words, isn't she?
I know. And I think a lot of the men on this season feel like they have to tick boxes of, like, this is not including Tim, Sarah and Tim, but like, oh, I've booked a date, I keep booking dates, I keep making an effort, and they keep talking about this really like admin stuff. I'm thinking of Tristan in particular, but also with Ben, like coming back with a bottle of wine and he thought that was enough of an apology. But these women just want to see affection and like and to be shown that they're important. I just feel like people are sort of going through the motions a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's really unsatisfying.
Yeah,
I think it's a fair point about a lot of the men on that. I mean, we saw, what did Jack do? Because they were next. Oh, he
wrote a poem.
Oh no, not the poem. I can't. Oh my, that was the biggest cringe.
Should we move on to them?
Ever.
Does anybody recognise this poem? Okay, hold on. I hate the way you talk to me and the way you cut your hair. I hate the way you drive your car. I hate it when you stare. There's a really similar poem in 10 Things I Hate About You. And she ends it well.
Nice.
But most of all, I hate the way I don't hate you. Not even at all.
Oh, yeah.
And his poem was like, I love the way you tie your shoes. I love the way you love the blues. And he's like, everything had to rhyme. But what was funny about Jack?
I particularly liked the clunky line, the way you put a grin on my head. Has anyone ever said on my head?
This makes me laugh when people think poetry always has to rhyme. It's so cute. Do you know what was weird about that? If you took that episode in its own vacuum, Jack wrote her a poem. He was being quite affectionate on the couch. He actually stood up for her when he said to Timothy, are you proud of the way you acted with Tori?
Right. But I would say massive tactical error, because they both think, like, even Tori was like, so what is it that you've observed that you think makes us weak? It's like, he's told you fucking 20 times you're not having sex, and you keep going on about how close you are. It was just an opportunity. They basically set Tim up, even though Alessandra had already approached him, to say the same thing again and go, yeah, I said what I said, I don't regret it, I think it's right.
Yeah. Like, and I don't think he was awful to Tori at that dinner party.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he had anything to be kind of regretful of in terms of how he was with her. He wasn't aggressive or derogatory to her.
Name-calling.
Yeah.
It was a bit beneath him in terms of his age and status.
He should have risen above it a little bit.
But thinking about Jack, if you were like an alien life form that landed down and watched Mouse and you only watched that episode...
It's just Collins you're talking about.
He was coming across... Like, he was actually making an effort. I was surprised. I know the poem was shit, but he wrote a poem. He was being quite, like, hand-holdy and stuff. He wasn't being too red flaggy in that particular episode.
I didn't like that physical affection on the couch.
Oh, yeah?
It was because he was basically just stroking her arm the whole time. It was weird. It's just not normal, tight physical affection when you're sitting together and... No, when you're sitting together and talking to three other people literally opposite you, is it normal and genuine physical affection to stroke your partner up and down their arm like that?
Yeah, maybe not.
Constantly.
I think it's like performative.
And like, I think it's a bit like, go on, tell them what we've said.
Yeah.
Go on, you can do it. You know, it's that kind of, it felt manipulative to me.
Fair enough.
A normal level of physical affection would be your arms around each other or hands on the leg, whatever. When you're sitting opposite people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the stroking, you know what I mean?
I do. And I do find them... What I don't like about Timothy's point about you not having sex is that is not the be-all and end-all of intimacy, as Alessandra keeps talking, keeps telling us.
Yeah.
And I know that he's holding back. But what Timothy isn't saying is the reason... He's not saying, oh, Jack, we know that you're not attracted to her. You told us all.
I know.
You've slagged her off behind her back. This is not going anywhere. I know this is fake. All he said is you're not having sex. Some people have asexual relationships.
Yeah.
Some people wait longer to have sex. So I don't think that is a valid point to hang on.
I don't know, because I think...
Because he's not having sex with Lucinda.
Yeah, no. But that's fine, isn't it? It's like, as I said in our previous episode, just because they're not having sex, it doesn't mean... Just because they're doing badly, it doesn't mean Jack and Tori are doing well.
Yeah.
And the what links those first two, Ben and Ellie and Jack and Tori, I thought, was the expert responses. I thought John was going to have more of a go at Ben, although I suppose... What more can you do with him when he's just so non-committal?
Yeah.
But also, why the fuck didn't Alessandra? Surely that was the point to go, well, actually, Timothy, it might be onto something, or at least she could give it, back him up in some way by saying, in the group workshop thing, Jack, you did say, I'm not got that sexual spark.
Do you think there's a little bit of a client? Yeah, is there a client confidentiality when, because obviously we see it on TV, but for the boys to open up, for the girls to open up, maybe they do say this isn't going to be, anything you say here isn't going to go into the commitment ceremony.
Right.
I don't know, maybe, because there is stuff they could use. There's quite like explosive stuff they could say.
I wondered if that's why Timothy hasn't said that to Tori.
So they're not allowed to.
And maybe they said that, look, we're going to talk about it in here, and obviously it's going to be filmed and put on the show, but within the group, don't talk to each other about what was said in the intimacy workshops, maybe.
Yeah, I did wonder maybe. That. It would make sense because, you know, I'm not the only one to think it. There's people online going, why the fuck isn't Alessandra just saying?
I know.
Because everyone, all the lads know he said it there, and I guarantee that a lot of them will have told their wives.
Yeah. I know. All of them probably. And that's the elephant in the room, because I don't think it's that they haven't had sex. I think it's that she thinks they're working towards it and he is withholding it for whatever reason, or doesn't fancy her, full stop.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if they were healthily working towards... I mean, it's only been a few weeks. They're allowed, they're allowed not to have sex in 3 weeks, obviously. But it's just that she sees it having like a path, and we don't know if he feels the same or he's just pretending.
Yeah.
Well, he's saying that he's setting them up for success, which I know can't
be. I'm setting us up for success. Just me, all on my own. So annoying.
Oh, man.
But I think that's what Timothy didn't have enough of a point with what he was saying, did he? It's just like, my point is you're not having sex and I just don't buy it.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough. That's his opinion, I suppose. But he needed a bit more if he was going to go that far with his point.
I think the problem with Timothy's delivery is he's coming a little bit across to me as like an angry old man on the internet of like, well, I'm allowed to have an opinion. You're not allowed to have an opinion these days. It's just an opinion.
Is this a communist country?
Yeah, exactly. And it comes a little bit like Trump supporter of like, well, I'm allowed to say... And yes, of course he's allowed an opinion, but he's not nurturing his garden, as Lucinda put it, of like, you're here to look after Lucinda and put her first. But if you're like starting fights with 20-somethings, how is that helpful, productive? Yeah. How is that working forward? Fine, have an opinion, but it's only going to bite you in the bum.
Yeah, you don't have to air every opinion.
And also, it's a bit creepy, like an opinion you have as a 51-year-old about whether this couple are having sex. Yes, I know it's part of the process to discuss other couples and like the dinner table scenario, but like it just paints you in a horrible light. I like Timothy, I do. I think he's funny.
Yeah,
but that didn't paint him in a good light at all.
As you'll have heard in the last episode, unless you just listened to the first few minutes to pretend.
I listened to the whole thing because I know you told everybody I was on a tantric workshop at the end.
It was kink yoga, actually.
Sorry, kink
Sarah.
Yoga.
Was that what it comes down to? I don't think Timothy should be so like outspoken and strident in his views about other people's relationships. He's allowed to have his opinion. Mm. He's allowed to say it to other people.
Just say it to camera behind everyone's back.
Exactly. No,
we get to hear it.
Yeah. You should never expect that people aren't talking about you behind your back, especially in that environment.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just getting so worked up about it. But I'll give him a pass because I just like him more than I like Jack and Tori.
I know, and that is valid. That is valid, and I like him more than I like Jack and Tori. But it just doesn't paint him in the nicest light. And I think it also aggravates Lucinda, understandably, because she's so mellow and she's so like, let everybody be, you know, que sera, sera, Hakuna Matata. And then when he's like throwing grenades across, you can see that she's wincing and going, this is not my energy.
It's not her jam.
This is not my energy passageway. This is really jamming with my flow.
I want to ask you, actually, because I think this was an important bit that he did bat off well was the, what about the 23-year-old?
I heard you guys discuss it, and I was, unsurprisingly, I side with the lady. No, I think, like, obviously, on paper, once someone's over 18, they're an adult, but really there's a power dynamic if you're 30 years younger than somebody. Yeah. But there's also, like, what are you looking for in a partner? If you go for somebody that much younger, you're not going to have many like cultural cross references. You're not going to have the same sort of jokes. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have the same sort of cultural references. You're not going to have the same sort of life experience. So are you looking for just like a sexual relationship? Are you looking for somebody who's going to like really look up to you and adore you because you're like a father figure?
But I think that's what he was getting at when he was saying, I don't even consider my previous things relationships, because the impression I got was, it was casual sex with someone who was much younger than him. It's not what he was looking for when he's joined this process.
Yeah.
It's not what he's looking for with Lucinda. And I can understand why she's been hurt by it being brought up by someone else, in fact, not by Timothy. But it's apples and oranges.
But it also compounds the problem they're in. Because if I think if he was attracted to her and they were having a bit of affection, she could be like, oh, he's had a whole breadth and different relationships. He's been with people in their 20s. He's been with people in their 40s. But because he's not affectionate with her, she's probably telling herself, I'm not young enough.
Yeah.
I'm not lithe enough. I'm not whatever. Mm-hmm. And so it just compounds her own. And she's got really good self-worth. But she's starting to feel so rejected.
Actually, sorry, just before, because I think it's a good point to move on to Timothy and Lucinda. But just before we do, because there was a moment at the end of Jack and Tori's bit where they got off the couch and it was such stilted applause.
Oh, it was so awkward. Well, because nobody was clapping or anything, and then Jaden started clapping.
Yeah.
But there was still a few beats where he was clapping on his own. And then everybody else joined in.
Like, my favourite thing is anything that happens, no matter what it is, the camera goes to Lauren. And she's like my litmus test of like how the room's feeling, because she cannot hide her expressions. Try as she might.
I think Lucinda's speech was excellent. Because I think she explained where she is in the relationship, what she wants, what she doesn't want. It was pretty clear without being like judgy. It's like, if this is who you are, fair enough, but that's not my jam.
I know. And she revealed quite interesting things, that he doesn't even bother to brush his teeth at night and stuff like that. I was like, she doesn't want to demean herself by thinking she'll just accept whatever crumbs he has to offer when he finally gets there. She's like, you might not be right for me in the same way I might not be right for you.
Exactly.
And you're right, she did it so graciously. And it wasn't mean.
No.
It was just like factual of like, you like this, I like that, yin and yang. Do we work or don't we?
Yeah. You like sugar and you like to watch TV.
It's just describing me. I love sugar. I love watching TV. I do brush my teeth.
Exactly.
Some of it did feel a bit petty, like those little things. But I think they're still relevant.
Yeah.
They're small things.
But she doesn't deliver in a petty way. She delivers it in a way that's still said without too much judgment of like, you know, we're all different people. And like, I don't want everyone sitting here thinking that I'm just going to accept whatever he's got to offer.
Yeah. And she's come to the end of our tether with him saying, you just have to give it time. You just have to give me time. You just have to give it time. You know, she's coming to a point where she's like, well, do I?
And then,
because
the
actually, what am I getting from this?
Exactly.
Which I think is very fair.
And if you're a third of the way through the experiment, you're like, well, how much time is not like infinity?
Yeah, yeah.
And again, I've said this before with Timothy, you start to get frustrated with him and then he'll sort of reveal a little bit and you come back to the sympathetic side of, he said, I've got more baggage than Qantas. And he's funny in his delivery. He's self-deprecating, which as British people, we love. But also he reveals a little bit of the fact that he has been really hurt, really lonely or whatever in his life. And she goes, let's just bless this mess. Like, she just has such a lovely response, because you feel like she's pulling away a little bit, but she still wants to support him in whatever he wants to reveal. And I think John said, you couldn't be with a better person right now.
Well,
to support you through this. Yeah.
I agree with you saying about Timothy that it always feels like it's just at breaking point and then he sort of recovers it, last ditch tackle kind of thing.
Totally.
He always like manages to bring it back. But I feel like we're in a sort of tricky area with one aspect where about like Lucinda wants to unpack all the difficult things that have gone on in his life. And John's saying, well, she's the perfect person to do it with. She might be the perfect person, but if he still didn't want to do it...
Well, he did say he didn't want to.
Yeah.
So that's fundamentally what it is.
Because we don't know what it is. It could be some like quite serious stuff that...
Is he able to open up, though, in a way that lets her in without unpacking all his trauma? Because at the moment, he's not giving it anything. And like, obviously, you know, we get the sense that they are quite jokey behind the scenes, and there is something. Yeah. She keeps talking about this, like, beacon of hope, which we feel as well. But you don't have to reveal every innermost traumatic memory to just be able to be a little bit affectionate with somebody, or just include them a little bit more.
Yeah.
Or rather than sitting down and watching TV, being like, let's go for a walk, or let's play a game, or let's do something, because I really feel like she's getting the bare minimum from
him.
But I do still like him, so that's the thing. Like, he has a likable, like, character, sort of sardonic humour.
I think he's still in a position where he can bring it round, but he's always waiting to the last second to do it. I think if he acted,
he'd be a great poker player. Royal flush.
I think if he actually puts in some effort.
Yeah.
But we've been saying that for a couple of weeks now. I did a poll about whether Lucinda should write Stay or Leave. And I thought it'd be much closer than it was. It was something like 79%, did I say, said that she should write Leave.
Really?
Which was much higher than I thought it was going to. I wouldn't have been surprised if it was the majority, but not 80-20.
Yeah.
I think it's just because we want her to stay.
We like her.
We don't want her to write me.
No. I've just become like a one-woman fan account for Lucinda. I just think she's amazing. I've just never seen anybody on a reality TV show that I can think of who's been so gracious, but not letting people walk all over her. Just like, she holds her own.
Yeah.
And she's even nice about crazy people, which we'll come to. She's a work of art. But she just sees the good in people, but she's strong.
Mm.
She's not
she's
not weak. And I just think she's amazing. And Timothy, and I think it's similar with Tristan, Timothy is looking at this woman on the sofa next to him who is the best thing that could ever happen to him if he was lucky enough to secure that relationship, but he's just gonna let it slip away.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating to watch. And I guess I feel the same about Tristan and Cassandra, but for different reasons.
Okay, well, let's get to the express checkout portion of the commitment ceremony.
Johnny turned to him and fucking hell. He went, fucking hell, there must be some drama coming up because they raced through three couples in like 1 minute.
Yeah, somebody said that they went to get a drink and they missed at least one of the couples.
Yeah.
But then it was Tristan and Cassandra up next, which was kind of more of the same, wasn't it?
In the same way, I feel frustrated watching Timothy, knowing he's going to let Lucinda, who's amazing, slip through his fingers. When we're watching Tristan and Cassandra, I do feel for Tristan, but I'm finding myself getting increasingly frustrated because she keeps saying, I'm not asking for much. And she's really not asking for much. And he is so far into his own head that he's going to let this amazing woman slip through his fingers. And I know they just flashed past on the couch and we didn't really see much of it there. So we can come to that. But I find myself getting increasingly frustrated at him. Because he's been told, she's telling you she likes you, she's telling you she finds you attractive, and you're just so, I guess, I don't know if he's struggling with depression because he keeps getting really depressive about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of trapped in a bit of a downward spiral.
Negative.
It feels like.
Yeah.
And actually, I don't know if that's a similar quality to Timothy, because Timothy said, Lucinda's optimistic, I'm pessimistic. And obviously you're allowed to be pessimistic. I mean, look at Omar. But I just don't know whether he's just looking for fault where she's looking for goodness. And same with Cassandra. Cassandra reminds me of Lucinda in terms of endlessly patient, endlessly warm, endlessly sort of willing to give things a go.
Yeah.
And Tristan and Timothy, they're not holding back in the same way, but they're both starting to really frustrate me because they've got these lovely women who are going to give them the world. And they're like,
They're both very much going in on themselves, though, aren't they? Maybe that's the similarity.
Not able to share, not able to be vulnerable.
Yeah, it's the connection, isn't it? That's what Cassandra and Lucinda are both looking for, is more of a connection with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes, you know, more fun to be together, more exciting to be together. I mean, I know this is later on, but Cassandra said she was bored, didn't she?
Yeah.
And I think that's really what she meant, is there's no excitement.
And you'd said earlier about men who are thinking, but I'm putting the effort in, I'm doing admin.
I know. Yeah, they're like, I've organised dates. I'm like, she just wants you to hold her hand. She just wants you to put a bag of microwave popcorn in the microwave.
Make her laugh and then give her a kiss.
Give her a kiss.
Come on.
It is quite minimal what she's asking for.
Yeah, it is.
Do you know what? Even just a cute look. If you're in a couple and somebody looks at you across the room and catches your eye, there's nothing hotter than just catching someone's eye that you know fancies you and you fancy them.
Yeah.
And you just give each other a little smile. A smile costs nothing. It requires no admin. But she's not even getting that. When she said to Tristan, are you all right? And he was like, I just want him to have a bit of like a lease of life.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess we'll come to talk more about that table, that dinner.
I mean, we've spent longer talking about them than we saw them.
Yeah, I know. They were literally on TV about 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And then they blasted through Jaden and Eden.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what they said.
I think they both said they really fancied. He said he was falling for her.
Oh.
He said something like, I'm really falling for this girl, or I'm really mad about this girl. And mm-hmm. she said, oh, I've got a big crush on him too.
Yeah.
It was quite cute.
What do you think of Eden?
She's gorgeous.
No, yeah, I don't mean fancy.
She's too young for me.
Because I feel like I've not seen enough. I said in the previous episode, I wouldn't worry about her hanging out with Sarah and Tori.
I guess you've got a limited group of friends to choose from. Yeah, the younger ones have the tendency to be a little bit more bitchy. But we've all been there.
Cassandra. And they've mates with Cassandra.
Yeah, yeah. And Cassandra, bless her, is the nicer of the bunch. But I think Eden probably has some good qualities and some more bitchy qualities, like we all do. Mm-hmm. But we haven't seen enough of her to know, like, how...
Do you remember Samantha of Samantha and Al?
Yes. Oh, they're quite similar.
Well, Samantha seemed all right, and her and Al had issues. Mostly he was quite immature.
Juvenile.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But then suddenly, like, it got towards the end of the series, and... She just decided, I'm sick of containing myself. And it turned out she was a proper dickhead.
I don't remember.
No, I don't remember.
Yeah, it was a real turn because it was like sort of indifferent to her throughout the series and felt sorry for her in a lot of ways. And then I think she decided she'd had enough of Al's immature behaviour, which was fair enough. But then she ended up being like really mean.
I know people hide behind it, but there is power in the edit. Because I know for a fact that I would be crucified if I went on a show like this, because they'd pick your weird little quirks and they would show them repeatedly and you'd look mental. Mm-hmm. Or if they decided to be kind, you'd be like, thank you so much, because you could look a bit more normal.
Yeah.
But with someone like Eden, she's just quite like a nice, happy-go-lucky girl, but I think she could be edited worse or better. And she's being edited in quite a neutral way.
Yeah.
But if they wanted to, they could show her making more... I'm sure we've all made like snide comments to each other, you know, if we were on this show... And like when we saw them meet as a group, they were a little bit witchy in terms of their...
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that's the right description. We're all... I mean, I'm like this too if I'm with my friends. Like, you want to just dissect everyone's relationship and talk about everything. Yeah. So I think she's probably just your average, like, Sydney girl.
Bog standard girl.
But I like her. I do. I like her. And she was actually... She's shown some maturity in how she handled Jaden's background.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
And she's shown some maturity in all the stuff she's been through. Mm-hmm. But we'll have to see. Like, some people haven't had their true characters revealed yet, have they?
Well, I think it's an interesting point you make about the edit, because I think they're trying to give Richard and Andrea a positive edit, but I find him quite irritating. And actually, because they were the next couple on the on the couch, I've actually had a couple of requests for people who have seen the post-Watershed Australian version of the commitment ceremony. And they've asked me to bring up that he said... that we've hugged, kissed, sucked and fucked all week.
Oh, no,
and it was like, and she laughed it off, like, because, oh God, don't say that in front of people.
Yeah.
But it's like, mate, that's a bit gross. Like,
it was.
I know.
She responded in a way where you couldn't tell whether she was uncomfortable and just trying to giggle it through, or whether she gets his sense of humour because she's been living with him and she's like, oh, what a naughty man. Like, he says the wrong thing, but I love it. Because I guess with all these couples, we don't see enough of them to know what is there. Personality. Is she embarrassed of him? I would be really embarrassed of him. He really blurted that out.
Yeah.
In a way that felt like he was revealing really private moments in quite a gross, laddish way.
Yeah. It's different between going, oh, we're 2 to 4 times a day, every day. You know, it's kind of... I think that was the limit of what you can say in good taste.
In front of the whole group and the experts.
So what I was hoping was these older couples would come in and sort of elevate the vibe of like, this is what a relationship can be like, and this is how you can talk about your partner, and this is what comes with life experience, and just putting a bit more effort in. We haven't really seen that with Timothy at all, even though we do like him. And then with Richard, he does celebrate Andrea, but he also says quite inappropriate things.
Yes.
We've seen it with the photo ranking, we've seen it with him blurting out about their sex life, and I don't know whether he had her permission. He might have had her permission to say whatever he wanted. They might have had a conversation behind the scenes that was like, if we get asked about sex, I'm just going to say we've been going at it like rabbits. She might be like, go for it. And she might feel virile. She might feel young and like celebrated, but it felt a bit icky to watch.
It's the choice of language that makes it. Because even if he'd said, we're going at it like rabbits,
that's a little bit more gentle.
And it's a bit more humorous.
Yeah, that is really full on. And no wonder it was bleeped out even post-Watershed. Like,
yeah, yeah. It was a bit.
I mean, everyone had awkward giggles, even just being in the room, didn't they?
Yeah. And like I'm curious to see how it progresses with them, because I'm not sure. As favourable as they try and make the edit for Richard, I'm not so sure.
Mm. Do you think as well they might suffer from that thing we've seen other couples have, where it's such a full-on flash at first that it can only fizzle because it's so they've gone very intense, they've gone very like sexual, they're really besotted with each other, or so it would seem. Can that last, or are they both just trying to recapture some sort of sense of teen, you know, when you're like infatuated with somebody
and then that wears off.
Yeah.
And where does that leave them?
Is it infatuation? Yeah. Like bloody hell, sex 4 times a day. is that sustainable?
That is not sustainable.
That is my question.
God, have they not got jobs?
They must be getting through the cod liver oil. Penultimate couple. Lauren and Jonathan. Yeah. I thought she was good. She was quite self-aware, saying I'm self-sabotaging.
Yeah, Lauren is so self-aware. It makes her more and more likeable, I think, as the process goes on. Like, you get the funny looks she gives when you're in the commitment ceremonies. Like, you know, her little facial expressions. But also when she was on the couch with Jonathan, she knows what she's doing. But you can tell that she wants to break some of these habits. You can tell that she's open to what the experts are saying, whereas some people are self-aware but they have no interest in changing.
Yeah,
I feel like she sees that Jono is a good guy, and she's like, he's what I needed, he's what I've asked for. And I think he's looking more and more attractive as well as we go on, because he is so lovely. Well, no, he's just so lovely to her and like calm, and I don't think it's fair to call him boring. But then I guess we haven't seen enough of them having a proper laugh.
Well, he's got a bit of a boring voice.
which is unfortunate for him.
Up front, it colours the whole perception of
everything. I guess.
He's on 0.75 speed. I saw someone, put it.
But she hasn't written him off, because when we saw her that morning after the honeymoon, it looked like she was just cold, fish. But actually, they seem to have quite like a flirtatious side to them. And like a... she'll whisper things to him during the commitment ceremonies about other people, and you can see him sort of giggle. And I think there is definitely like a chemistry there, which makes me hopeful that they can build on what they've got.
Yeah, I think there's something there. It just depends how much can Lauren break those habits that she's used to.
Yeah, which we see so often of like, I normally go for red flags. Mm-hmm. Here's a nice guy. Not really
being
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But she seems more open than some people have been.
Yes.
And I do really like her. And she's funny. She's very funny.
Yeah, it's admirable that she is at least going to try.
Yeah.
And you believe her when she says
that. Yeah, you do.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Main event. Tim versus Sarah. Slash Cass as well. She got involved.
Oh, yes, yeah. So she did.
Yeah. But what Cass brought up, we had already heard.
Yeah.
Because I do respect Cass. I think it's quite brave to say things like that in front of the whole group. And I would really struggle. I would really struggle saying anything negative like that and just being shot down or looking like a villain. But the thing about him being scared of Sarah, has been brought up before.
Yeah.
And he admitted,
ceremony,
yeah. He admitted that he was, so that was almost a bit pointless, but good on Cass. Tim's body language is like he's cowering. He's cowering from her. And she's like, I don't know why he's scared of me.
I've grown to quite like Tim because there's more to him than I thought. You know, at the beginning, we sort of made fun of him and being like, whoa, I love traveling, bro.
He still does a bit of that. What was his point about the star-crossed lovers?
Oh, yeah.
I think he's missed the point of Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not because they argued and one person was shit to the other person.
I know.
That's not what star-crossed lovers are. But okay, and
then,
Tim, yeah.
And then the producer, you do know how most tragedies end? Well, yes, all tragedies end in death. That's sort of the whole premise. But I do like him more and more.
Yeah, I think he's kind of standing his ground and making his points clearly. Like, for example, with the Cassandra asked that question, he did say, I'm going to answer that because it's a fair question. And I'm essentially worried about you blowing up because if I express how I feel.
Yeah.
And he's told, repeatedly, you talk over me, I don't have a voice. He puts his point across, I think.
It was amazing when they both sat down and Sarah apologised to the room, which I think it was really funny because you could see the cogs whirring of like, I'm going to be the bigger person. Everyone's going to love me. I'm going to be so cool. And then Mel laid into her. And it was so funny. Like, I love when the experts don't hold back.
The way she put, but you're not going to apologise to Tim. And Sarah put her hands on her chest, but...
He shouted at me. But I've never seen such like victim playing.
Yeah.
You weren't genuinely scared of him and you just loved having the upper hand of like, well, you shouted, so now I'm afraid the ball's in your court.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right, Mel had a bang to rights. Like you were shouting for quite a length of time. You were pointing, your body language was very aggressive. We were shocked by your anger.
It was interesting as well because I think the experts must have seen more of the dinner party than we did.
I wondered that.
I think that,
I know she was, you know, she was angry and not happy. But when Mel said she was shocked, I did wonder if there were other things that weren't aired for the experts to be shocked. I mean, they've seen worse things at dinner parties than that.
It must have been more prolonged because we must have seen like an edited version because obviously we saw it escalate quickly. But I think it sounds like Sarah was just sort of laying into Tim for quite a long time, finger pointing, and then finally Tim did shout. But bless Tim, like we all lose our temper. I've shouted at children because I have children and you do sometimes shout.
Right. You're kidding.
Just that kid down the street that she doesn't like.
But like you obviously feel bad, but we're all human and you do shout. It's how you handle it afterwards. Yeah. And he handled it beautifully because he was like immediately apologetic. Immediately, even though he was annoyed at her, he went and apologised. Mm. And then if you remember, she didn't even accept his apology. She acted like she was almost afraid of him, but obviously it was an act. Mm. He's afraid of her.
Yeah, it was absolutely ridiculous. And when Cassandra brought up that question and Tim answered it, it was clearly a correct question to be asked, even if it was, but you're right, a bit repetitive. She was fuming.
That's the way she's being portrayed.
But she's being betrayed that way because it's accurate.
I know.
Like, and that thing of you don't know what goes on with a couple behind closed doors didn't really stand as an argument against what Cassie was saying, because Cassie was saying you're different with us than you are with her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's got nothing to do with what happens between closed doors.
I think she was just reaching for something to like brush it all under.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think, what reasons do you think Sarah is on this show for?
Mm.
Because if we're just looking at the bare facts, she's not spending time with him. She's choosing to cancel dates and she's not really like... She doesn't feel like she's prioritised. Maybe it'll switch now that she's written that letter and she's apologised and everything, but it doesn't feel like she's there to look for that connection and seek it out and work on it.
The most important thing is that the groceries are used before they go off.
Oh, I know, well, that was romantic, wasn't it?
Yeah. She's come on to highlight the importance of food waste.
But that's almost like an old married couple where you phone, do you have a takeaway? Oh, no, we've defrosted that salmon.
We literally did that last week. But we've got all that food in the fridge.
So to be fair, that's the most married I've ever heard anybody sound. It's not having sex four times a day. It's eating the defrosted salmon.
Yeah.
I know, I want to give her the benefit of the doubt, but I don't feel like she's on for the right reasons if she's not prioritising spending time with him.
She basically admitted, it'd make him feel like he's not a priority, but that's it. It makes him feel like he's not a priority.
It was almost like she wanted to have an amazing connection before she spent time with him. But obviously you've got to spend time with someone to build that connection. She was like, well, I didn't want to go on a date because I wasn't really feeling it. I was like, that's the whole reason to go on a date.
Yeah.
To keep working and seeing if there's something there.
Yeah. She's doing it the other way around.
Counterintuitive. Isn't gonna work.
How awkward was the hug? The one-arm hug that she gave.
And who was it that suggested that awkward hug?
Who was it,
Jack? I think it was Jack.
Oh, right.
It's like, you don't know how to read a room, Jack. Like, when it's Cassie and Tristan, maybe, have a hug and a kiss or whatever. But that was not the moment for Sarah and Tim. It didn't feel like the right moment for them to have a hug. But he didn't read that at all. She's like, hug, that'll make me look like a good guy. Give her a hug. And then it was awkward.
I don't know if I agree, because I think the room, the whole way through that, it felt like the room was really rallied behind Tim. It didn't feel like anybody was particularly rallying behind Sarah. And what was so funny is, even if you cut to the girls, they were all like curling their lips up at everything she was saying. It was like the whole room is backing Tim. And I felt like, maybe I'm naive, but I felt like everybody was trying to get like a little bit of affection for him.
Yeah.
So that he could leave feeling like there was hope. So yes, it might have been Jack, or I think it was Jack and Tori who called for it, but I felt like maybe it was a good thing in the long run. It forced her to like soften herself a little bit.
I don't know if it did.
No, she didn't.
Because it was a very awkward hug. And they both just did a one-armed hug.
It's true.
And it was forced because they felt like they had to do it in front of the group.
But then the next time we saw them, she had written that letter.
True.
And I don't know whether she was asked to write that letter. Sometimes I'm such a cynic with this programme. Like, what is genuine? And what is the producer saying? Right, now you've got to go on like a painting date. And now you've got to talk about, you know,
Things are getting better. You want to work on it.
Yeah. You've got to buy her flowers and wine because she thinks you hate her. Here's the money for the flowers.
Get a big bottle of Pinot.
Well, Tuesday night's episode, like you say, started with Tim and Sarah and the letter, which I thought it sounded genuine. I thought.
Yeah, she explained a little bit more about where she was coming from, of like, I haven't dated anybody who's been this open. So maybe she's questioning, like, why is he being nice? You know, if you've not been with anyone nice. And she... it sounded genuine, and the most important thing is he thought it sounded genuine, so there we go.
And what we saw after Tim and Sarah was everybody getting their invitations for the wedding,
and Timothy went, the writing's getting even smaller. Which is so sweet, because seeing people who are older on the show, of course their eyesight's fading. Normally it's all just like tits and teeth.
So the first wedding was Michael, who obviously his partner, whose name I can't remember, Sean?
The new one or the
no,
old
no,
one?
No, the old one.
Oh, he's dead in the water. We don't care about him.
That was so long ago.
Yeah. His ex-husband.
Yeah, who we never met.
No.
They did an interesting thing of they kept Stephen, as we found out. We didn't get to see him ourselves until they met at the...
We just saw a little bit of ankle.
Which wasn't a great start for me.
A little flick of the hair. I was like, oh, he's got long hair. There's a lot of hair in this season.
I know, I said that to you, didn't I?
Yeah.
It's a lot of long-haired gentlemen.
They kept him quite secret. But then I think it was a lovely reveal because he's very beautiful. I mean, what a beautiful couple.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I just say something to the listeners? If you've been ghosted... Michael has been ghosted. Like, it has nothing to do with... Yeah. I've been ghosted.
Have you?
Yeah, once. And it's a horrible thing. And obviously it happens loads. But it's nothing to do with you. Yeah. It's the person's inability to, like, communicate. Michael's been ghosted. He is the most beautiful man. He's lovely. I really like these two.
I felt the general thing throughout their wedding was... it was really nice. They clearly get on. They both seem like decent people. The show was almost trying to find bits of drama. Like, oh my God, baby daddy.
Yeah,
baby daddy.
And then
he didn't care about
that. It's a tick box. Yeah, it's like a ticket. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful. I think there was at the end that red flag raised about he found out that he'd been on the show before, but that was a misunderstanding. Yeah. And it was actually really unfair because wasn't Stephen told coming in,
We have
a groom who needs a match. You're perfect. We had a bit of a mix-up.
Maybe he wasn't told that.
It doesn't look like it.
But I wonder about how exaggerated that his reaction was to that. Because it's not really a red flag. It's completely out of Michael's control.
Yeah.
So if it's a red flag for him that he is second choice...
But was
that's
even,
not fair for not Michael sure. because Michael doesn't it, what, no. what have any control more, over that.
It is more detail, and it might come at the commitment ceremony, maybe, yeah. where they say you were Michael was already in the process. You weren't in the process, but as it happens, then
you're a better match.
Yeah, you're a better
match. They're a gorgeous match.
Yeah,
like, I feel like we've skipped ahead to like the problem right at the end of the episode, yeah. but actually, it was such a gorgeous. I was crying. I've had quite an emotional week myself, but I was in absolute bits watching them because I think they're both. I mean, obviously they're gorgeous, but they also seem really quite gentle personalities, yeah. really family orientated. Yeah. That's like a good one, isn't it? And just the way that they met at the altar, and then they were just the way they talked, and I just think they're beautiful together.
Yeah.
And there's something really gorgeous about seeing these beautiful gay couples on screen. Like it's still in the minority, obviously, yeah. and it was such a beautiful match.
They did a little thing where they changed the logo, didn't they, to two grooms.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even spot that.
Yeah, that
just when
cute.
It was going into advert breaks. Yeah, I think they're clearly decent people. I can't imagine they're going to get involved in drama. Mm. And I think they'll be a success story, hopefully.
And you know how sometimes like we're shown these contestants and like they seem nice, but you're like, oh, I'm not 100%. They seem like their reactions to everything through the day were quite open and gentle, and the way that they showed their families. Mm. Actually, we didn't see any of Michael's family, did we? Just a few friends.
Oh, that's
yeah,
right,
didn't
yeah.
seem but like his any of his
friends
were there.
Adore him. And then Stephen's friends and family seem to adore him. It feels like there's a lot of like genuine affection for them both on
yeah.
both sides.
Yeah.
And then
I think that guest though, who was like, who brought up the baby daddy thing, keep your fucking mouth
really
shut.
Really perfect. Isn't it?
I think she did say, oh, they've had this conversation, haven't they?
Why would she assume that?
Well, it seems not.
It's so funny.
They just met 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, and it's also so funny. If you're going to be on like international TV for 1 minute, and in that 1 minute, you just put your foot in it and cause problems. Because actually, it ended up being fine. But imagine yeah. if it was a problem. Imagine yeah. if you like, kicked off. Luckily, not. Yeah, so funny.
I just think they're gonna sail through it. They won't get involved in any drama.
I think
this thing about like, well, was he your first choice or not? I think that'll be squashed pretty quickly because it's not
to
Michael's
Michael.
Yeah,
fault.
It has to be. He didn't make a choice,
and he never set eyes.
So it has to be squashed.
He never set eyes on the
yeah,
other guy.
Exactly.
So he can't even be grilled on. Well, did you fancy him more than you fancy me?
Yeah.
And obviously, Stephen's gorgeous. I just even thought that like his, I'm going to be really, really sentimental, but even his story about how he got his scar and everything like that, it made him more attractive.
Yeah.
You know that thing where scars are really beautiful and they tell like a survivor's story? I think it made him even of a lovelier person. He's had this experience and he had to fight through it. And like, and obviously Michael's coming from the point of having had to fight through like bigots in America.
Yeah.
Ohio.
So it feels like they've both got a little bit of a similar...
Yeah.
Gentle but strong.
Mm. I mean, I'm coming from a less emotional stance with the scar. I just think he looks like a badass.
He does.
He does.
Like,
yeah.
It suits him.
Looks like he's had a fight with a lion.
Yeah. Mate, I understand your childhood. It must have made it more difficult and everything. You look cool as
you
fuck.
You do. That's what I sort of mean, though. It suits him. Isn't it funny that has like something like that?
Yeah.
Because obviously he feels self-conscious about it. And I don't know whether the long hair has been a sort of framing to hide it or something, but obviously he's a hairdresser. But his whole look just really suits him.
Definitely, yeah.
And I think he's going to, when he walks in, I think Jaden and Jack are going to be like, oh, shit.
He's got better hair than me.
I think the girls will be pleased to see Michael back. Because he was, you know, that beautiful gay guy who walked in at the end of the Hens.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh my gosh. And now he's back and... It's an interesting story, isn't it? And how did the producers find this amazing unicorn guy for him?
Instagram.
In a month.
I bet it was Instagram.
I bet
loads of them come from Instagram, don't they? They do the scouting.
Yeah.
You know.
I think so.
Maybe he's applied before, I don't know. But that would be the kind of cynic in me. They've gone on Instagram. He's got loads of followers, maybe.
Well,
popular hairdresser.
I was
going to
say,
that.
I assume he's a very well-known hairdresser because he said he lived a comfortable lifestyle from the job he does.
Right.
Did you hear him say that?
Yeah.
Right.
So I think he earns the big dollar, Australian dollar.
Yeah. I'll have a look at him on Instagram.
He is beautiful.
Well, I'm glad we've saved, because I was thinking I'd call the title... of this episode. I mean, it's the title's been inspired by Madeline. I thought I'd call it Peak Woo Woo.
Peak Woo Woo.
Peak Woo Woo.
What about 37, 37, 37, 33? That's me and Johnny were wetting ourselves. Oh, you've got to be really, really ballsy to be to call yourself a medium and then make claims and get them wrong. Because it's like, it's not going to look good.
I mean, I don't even know where to start with this because I just...
Buckle up, buddy.
Yeah. I just hate having this discussion and people can be like, entitled to believe whatever they want to believe, but I find it difficult when they're going on about stuff like this to not just ridicule them.
It was quite extreme with her, wasn't it?
It was.
I mean, I don't think I've ever met a medium in social circles, but it was very extreme.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Do you know why I have, not to like, you know, mention itis, talking about Lucinda again, but Lucinda is hugely woo-woo, but she manages to present herself in a way that's sort of also self-deprecating and also so warm that she can say these, because she does do some quite woo-woo things, but she also draws people in.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like the way Madeline presents herself is she just alienates people because she starts shouting or like calling on spirit vision things, and she doesn't draw you in and explain. She just comes across absolutely...
Well, one of the tweets I did was, Madeline is the type of annoying we thought Lucinda would be.
Yeah. And sorry, I didn't even see that tweet, but I completely agree. Like, obviously, people are entitled to their opinions and mediums do exist. But I think if you'd come on and you were explaining what you did in more of like, I know not everybody's going to get this and that's fine, like Lucinda would do.
Yeah.
But she's come on being like, I am a psychic... And I have vision and I am...
I get psychic downloads.
Talented. Yeah. And the way she just presents it was almost like aggressively weird.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. She says she's weird, which is redeeming, I guess. But she's so weird that it's
so painful to watch. And then I kept cracking up watching Tori and Lauren in the ceremony and at the wedding breakfast because they just kept...
By the way, she just freestyled them out.
She walked up to them. But she shouldn't have, because they were an absolute shit show.
Yeah.
Dumpster fire.
We're in love.
I'm getting married
to you. It's like, is this all being filmed? Like, all the time?
Oh, yeah, she was so surprised that we're filming constantly. Yes, and, it's your wedding and then on a reality TV show. Yes, they're filming it.
Oh, my gosh. Sweet Ash's face. It kept coming. Like, I'm sorry, but the pretty privilege is real. If you can have your husband not run a mile because she looks like a supermodel. She does. She's tall, she's thin, she's whatever. Yeah. She looks like a supermodel.
She's extra small.
If she was at all more plain looking, he would have been like, who the hell is this woman?
Exactly.
But she is being given so much rope because of how she looks.
I thought that too.
But Ash might be lovely, but he looked like so confused.
Yeah.
And then he'd be like, oh, it's the best day of my life. I felt like I'd floated up into the heavens.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Oh, wow. Because she's so gorgeous.
I mean, to be fair, it's interesting that you say that because it didn't cross my mind at all that she was good looking.
He said, wow. Like, he couldn't believe when she walked down the aisle.
Yeah, he did. You're
but
right.
But I think she might alienate him by being completely insane. and it'll be an interesting one to watch.
Well, there's only so many times he can pretend that he had an experience too.
With a ghost.
Yeah. I mean, he thought like, oh yeah, you know, most people would just be, and probably what he wanted to say was like, yeah, last night was stressful, it was weird, I've not had a night like that before. But instead he framed it as all like, oh, it's almost there was a presence hovering over me. Maybe the house was haunted, I don't know, what do you think? And she instantly flipped and opened up to him again.
To be fair, he knew his audience and he played that amazingly.
Yeah.
And then the narrator went, after receiving an ominous psychic download at the ceremony, Madeline is finding it hard to relax. It's just so funny because she's so, like, she almost seems, I mean, I don't want to be mean, she almost seems possessed because she's completely switched off to him having heard this download. And then when he mentioned a ghost, she was like, he's woo-woo.
Yeah, she's back.
Maybe this is the love of my life. I don't know if nerves is part of it because she was really blurting during the ceremony. She kept turning around and blurting things. And obviously, nerves account for something.
Yeah.
But then in the stuff we saw of friends and family at home, that is clearly just how she is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So whatever the psychic download said to her that was so bad that made us switch off from Ash completely, it was totally overruled by the fact that he thinks he saw a ghost the night before.
Yeah.
So how bad was this psychic download?
I also
what is it they said about Ash?
But she won't say.
She won't say. What? Because can we believe them? Because they said Ash was 37.
Well, yeah.
So I don't know if she should always believe what she gets told.
Oh, man.
I also thought this day and age, we should call it psychic streaming. she don't want to just use up her memory downloading this stuff.
Don't want to use too many gigs.
Yeah. Madeline, your storage. You don't have to pay for extra storage.
$2.99 a month.
Oh, man. And I'm well aware there'll be people listening who believe in mediums and go to see mediums, and that's absolutely fine, because I am advocating for someone like Lucinda who has woo-woo beliefs, but then just sort of presents it in a much more palatable way.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's like, and I know we've spoken about, like, I'm the miserable one of the three of us. And I said, you know, I've openly admitted I thought Lucinda would annoy me. No, spirituality and everything in itself isn't annoying. It's the way people present it to me that annoys me.
Mm.
The stuff Lucinda says, I've just said how well she explained her position in what you might say is woo-woo terms. But I think it's just, she's quite articulate, actually.
Yeah, she is, very.
But that's not the same as believing in ghosts.
But lots of people listening will believe in ghosts. It's more that Madeline came in like some sort of 10-ton truck of destructive energy. It was just completely mad. And you didn't know... You could feel the nervous energy of the guests, the way that that Lauren and Tori were reacting in the congregation. But, like, she just was sort of babbling. Yeah. Or at least that's what it looked like. And so
she was quite frantic.
She was really frantic. Yeah. Lots of people do believe in ghosts. Lots of people do go and see psychics. But I guess, like we've said, it's just the franticness of her delivery and the fact that, like, you couldn't tell what was going to come out of her mouth next. You couldn't tell. You couldn't even tell if she liked him, because she didn't seem like she was on planet Earth.
Ash.
I think Sarah said him.
Not Tim.
Oh, sorry.
They would not bring a third.
There's a language barrier here.
Imagine if they brought in the intruder couples and the gay couple were both called Tim. and then Madeline was marrying another Timmy.
Married up first Tim.
Yeah.
Well, poor Ash, I mean, to be fair, it's probably better than he first thought, because he said her medium's like, can I read your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
I think we're in for a ride. We're in for an absolute ride. And I don't know how the group are going to welcome her.
Well, the girls are going to hate her. Apart from Lucinda, who says she's a workaholic.
She's creative.
But I think Lucinda was being really sweetly diplomatic, because I just think Lucinda wants to see... And I want to be more like Lucinda, because I can be such a cow. And I think Lucinda was just so gracious in her, like...
Yeah.
She's a workaholic. She's a workaholic. Read between the lines.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the scream.
Mm. But did he remind you a bit of Arthur?
A little, yeah.
He did reminded me of Arthur.
Oh, yeah.
And she did the Arthur thing.
Yeah.
Because she said, I love you.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And he is a bit Arthur. Yeah, he reminded me a bit of Arthur.
And also the family thing, because he looks after his younger siblings.
He's a sweetheart. Did you think it was really adorable when he said, I may look like a bad boy?
Yeah,
I know. Goes, when literally all of his tattoos were covered up.
Yeah. And I may look like a bad boy. I was the thought did not pass my mind, but maybe.
And I don't think there's one male on there who doesn't have a tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
But apart from John, maybe.
Yeah.
He might have a whole back. It's very, very sweet how he perceives himself. But I know his backstory.
I feel sorry for him.
Oh, so do I.
He's going to be the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah. I don't think it's fair, because I genuinely think she's been brought on for the ratings and for the sort of like mad one-liners that she might come out with. I'm not sure she's been brought on to be a genuine life partner for him.
I want to
be proven wrong, but Ash, who's ready for commitment, has, you know, a life where he is very sacrificial, looking after nieces and nephews, stepbrothers,
younger half siblings.
I think he looks like he's ready to settle down. And what a car crash this might be.
Oh, no.
A spaceship.
Well, the episode ended with Tristan and Cassandra having a little bust up, which, we've said earlier, he's got wrapped up in the admin and he just can't... He's properly spiralling. He's getting really worked up about, like, I'm putting in so much effort and doing this and I'm doing that. It's like, but you're not doing the thing that you've been asked or been told to do.
Repeatedly. Yeah. Do you think, because this was one thought that passed my mind, do you think he is almost like consciously hiding behind the admin because of his fear of intimacy? Mm. So he's like, right, I'm scared of being intimate with her. I'm just going to lean in, double down into just planning random dates and hiding behind that. So if anybody says, what effort have you made? He can be like, well, I've done 5 things this week. But actually, it's not what she's asking for at all.
Yeah.
And she's even said, I'm not asking for much. She said I'd sit on a pavement with him.
Yeah. He's doing a lot.
Yeah.
So we can say he's doing a lot. Yeah. But he's not giving her anything emotionally.
And I don't
think... That's the thing. She wants to feel excited to be with him. Yeah. And she's not feeling it because I think maybe he's not feeling it either. He's too scared to feel it or something. So they're not feeling the connection. And that's what she's after.
It's the first time we've seen him be quite defensive as well, because it was almost like, not a nasty streak, because I don't think he was trying to be nasty, but it's the first time I've seen him get a little bit irate.
Yeah.
And then I didn't like her calling anything boring, because that does feel like a dig. But I think it was... maybe in the long run it needed to be said. I don't know. It's not... I wouldn't want to be called boring. I wouldn't want my relationship...
But I think she said she was bored.
Yeah.
I don't think she said, you're boring.
No, she didn't. But so, I think if you're put together in the experiment and your partner says, I'm bored, it reflects on you. And he's like, well, I've organised all these things.
I think I do... I know what you mean. And I like Tristan. And it was a shame to see him so irate. But these are all problems of his own making.
I know.
It's like, what else does he need to be told? Yeah. Hold a hand, give her a kiss. It's not difficult. And then she is bored by the lack of progression.
Yeah.
Because they're just where I worried they would be after their wedding.
She keeps saying, I'm tired of this, I'm tired. And you could have put another chair in between them at the wedding. There was a massive gap between them. And like, bless her, I think she probably feels quite fed up that she keeps having to ask for things that are quite bare minimum. So she turned to him and she was like, are you okay? But he clearly hadn't made much conversation with her. It felt like they hadn't really spoken. They were sat at this table in silence. And he's like, again, like, non-committal replies are so frustrating on this program, because you're not going to build.
Yeah.
If you're just like, I don't know, like, you.
Maybe he just isn't that into her, but feels like he should be. Because she's so lovely and she's so attractive and...
This is your answer for everyone.
I think this is sometimes a fundamental thing because they've been matched together. So you then have experts have matched us, so we must be a good match. And if he's kind of insecure in himself, then maybe he's questioning the fact that he doesn't feel much for her. And then there's pressure because she's so lovely and she's such a nice person and she's so attractive and he wants this to work. So then he's thinking, well, I should like her. Maybe he just actually doesn't. Enough. No, you know what I mean?
Well,
maybe
I know,
there's just not enough of an attraction there.
It's definitely like not my place to guess, but I almost found myself questioning his sexuality as well. Of not necessarily that he might be gay, but might he be more asexual or something like that, because there's not that drive that it doesn't seem like she is gorgeous, she is willing to like build on it. It doesn't feel like he has that impetus to do anything.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that block is, because obviously the confidence thing only goes so far. He's been told she wants you to.
Yeah.
The experts have given him tasks.
Yeah.
And he has to... I don't know. There must
maybe
be something...
Maybe deep down he just doesn't want to.
Could be.
Do you think now, as it stands, do you think they're getting to final vows?
Ooh.
No.
No, I don't think so.
Because he would have to have a whole shift in his approach to be giving her anything.
Yeah. And if it, perhaps he is struggling in the experiment in the way that Ben tried to use it as an excuse, maybe Tristan genuinely is, but doesn't want to say that either because maybe doesn't want to let people down and what have you. So he might get to a breaking point with the experiment itself as well.
Yeah.
They would actually suit. It's frustrating because they would suit as a couple if he gave her that bit of affection and they could build on that.
Yeah.
But it's not, nothing's being built on.
Yeah.
And I think they both said the word stalemate, I think.
Yeah.
But it must have been really frustrating to be Cassandra and hear him say stalemate, because she's like, well, you've put yourself in this position, so how can you say it's stalemate?
Yeah.
You won't hold my hand.
Yeah. It's very similar to Timothy and Lucinda, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
They need both the fellas there need to just try a bit harder with the intimacy.
Totally. And like, I get that like more full on intimacy might be like daunting, like for Timothy to think, oh, eventually if I sleep with Lucinda, is she going to want tantric eye gazing? Is she going to want all this stuff? But actually, most of the things these women are asking for is really basic.
So by the end of the week, we're going to have had another wedding. And then it'll be, I think, the dinner party where they all come in and meet all the existing couples.
That could be good.
I think that's going to be pretty mental.
Okay, yeah.
Madeline's going to come in.
Oh, but according to the way Madeline explained her gift, she should be able to know everyone's names and ages before she goes.
Plus or minus 4 years.
Yeah. That's the wiggle room.
Margin for error.
Well, when you're talking to another realm, they can't be that specific.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to remind you what your Wi-Fi password is and things like that. Looking forward to those episodes, especially to see the car crash of Madeline and poor Ash.
God love him.
Buckle up, buddy.
Buckle up.
Until Friday's episode, I've been Omar Abid.
I've been Sarah Clark.
I've been Claire Limmer Abid.
And if you are from another realm, you can still get your psychic download of this podcast in all the usual places. Please tell your friends.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.